This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's Tuesday afternoon, so let's get our growth and development discussion underway with the one, the only, Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and that's online at cvilletomorrow.org. Were you a big fan of Alfred Hitchcock Presents?
I was not, Coy. You played that for me during the break, and I'm shocked that I could answer that question.
Yeah, because you got it right.
And I got it right.
I was ringing my bell. Way to go, Brian.
Not eligible for lunch, but...
Every show was always like some woman who's killing her husband or a man who's killing his wife. It was just all those creepy
kind of... I'm sure it was on the reruns by the time I was watching TV.
But... Yeah, it was good. Not as good as Twilight Zone or what's that one with the drawings that Rod Serling did after that? I can't remember. Somebody remembers. Not Dark Shadows. What was this? I can't remember. Anyway, you sound like you have a cold.
I do. I got the plague. I think my wife passed it on to me. She went through it for about a week and then turned it over to me.
Allison's had it. Yeah, she's had it. The kids have had it. Like this cough, cold, congested, runny nose kind of thing that's going around. Change of season, I guess. Although it's in, you know, it's in the 80s outside, but
it hit its worst point as I was driving home from the Philadelphia area over the weekend. My daughter and I were up there for some family business, and we're coming home, and you know how you get those itchy eyes when you have this thing?
Yeah.
And I wear contacts.
The itchy, watery eyes.
Yeah. So it's about a 5.5-hour trip home, and an hour into it, I realize I got to pull the contact lenses out and just go to my glasses, because...
Did the contacts hurt when you get itchy eyes?
It was getting very irritated, yeah.
So you start to feel like you really... What does that feel like when you wear contacts? Does it always feel like you have something in your eyes, or do you just not notice them?
No, when everything's fine, you don't notice at all. But if you've got dry eyes or itchy eyes, I think it makes it worse.
Okay.
So
you got to put your glasses on.
Yeah.
So you had to stop, a little rest area, glasses action?
Pulled over, found a little gas station, switched the eyewear.
Yeah.
Can't do that while I'm driving.
I'm getting those itchy eyes right now as you're talking. Those itchy, watery eyes?
Nope. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
So as we were driving up to Philadelphia, though, that's when I noticed the gas prices.
Brian, what in the world's going on? What are we going to do about that?
There's something going on.
What is Charlottesville tomorrow going to do about these gas prices?
What's the price of gas in Charlottesville?
Right now, it's about $3.24, I think. And at the Wawa on Broad Street in Richmond, right now, it's $2.54.
Wow.
Charlottesville's the most expensive gas in the state.
Well, it wasn't that low where I was, but, you know, I'm the type of person that drives till the warning light comes on.
Yeah, me too.
And and Jean, my wife, hates that. And so I'm.
What is it about us, Brian?
So I'm just leaving inner city Philadelphia. Actually, I'm in inner city Philadelphia,
and that little gas pump light is on,
and the light's on, and I'm thinking, oh God, this is not good. And my daughter Abby's on the phone with my wife, and I'm hoping, I'm like, Abby, don't look at the dashboard right now, because if you do, I'm in big trouble.
Did she see it? Did she mention
it? She didn't. Abby did not notice. And then,
I do the same.
And it was 5 o'clock traffic too, so we're heading on we're in the interstate out of Philadelphia. On routes.
And you're sick.
Interstate 76.
And you got the itchy eyes and no gas.
Yeah, but we pulled off, and I found a gas station and played real cool, and Abby never figured it out. And we filled up. You know how when you unscrew the gas cap and you've gone down that low, there's this huge sucking sound.
Really?
Of the air getting pulled into the tank.
I never noticed that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do it all the time.
But I never noticed that.
If you go really low, I think it tends to, there's a pressure differential in the tank.
Interesting. Okay.
But you don't want to do that. I don't recommend this.
Do you get back in your car as you're putting the gas in?
No. Why would I do that?
You know what? I like watching the gas thing go up. I get back in the car and put the key
no
in.
No way.
And watch. Well, I started it with my kids because they like watching the tank fill up.
Right.
So even when they're not there, now I get in and I'll do it and I'll just stare at the needle and
do you,
wait till
like,
it goes.
Watch the rearview mirror to make sure the nozzle hasn't come flying out of your car?
I've never heard that. Is that a possibility?
No, but that's my fear.
No.
That something will go wrong.
It just cuts off.
Yeah, but haven't you had the cutoff thing fail?
Only once.
Well, that's one time too many.
But
especially if you're sitting in your car.
No, but I get out when it starts to get close.
Do you leave the car running too?
No. You don't turn your engine on. No. But they say, you know, you got to be careful of the static electricity getting in and out of your car while you're pumping gas because you could explode.
But anyway, you're right. Something is going on in Charlottesville. You gas
know what?
Is very expensive.
Here's what needs to happen. All you need to do is picket these gas stations in Charlottesville and stand out there with some signs for people who care enough. stand out there with signs showing what the cost is in other places in the state, and then a big sign that has the price of that gas station with a big why. You know, why are we getting screwed? Because it's just, it's simply because there's a lot of rich people who live here. There's a lot of big state jobs here. It's the only reason they're doing it. But a quarter of the city population is in poverty.
This would be a great web application for somebody to sort of map out the price of gas. It seems like that should have been done already. You know, so you could just look and see. And I imagine we'd see a big red spot, you know, on Charlottesville, Albemarle.
Yeah. And the the most expensive in Virginia.
That's my experience.
A caller just called in. We got Nellisford gas now at $2.79.
Well, there you go.
Gracious. And $2.54 now in Richmond. And Charlottesville's like, what, 3.25? It's ridiculous is what it is. Hey, this is News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Where should we begin? Should we begin with water?
Sure, let's talk about some water.
Let's begin with the water. All right, fire away.
I don't know where to begin.
Well, there was that big article in The Progress today.
Okay, let's talk about that.
About
phone's ringing already.
Well, yeah, put them on through. The big article in The Progress today about the Reservoir Task Force appointed by the city and the county.
Yeah, what was your take on that?
Well, it was quoted that Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, Kevin Lynch came forward. They seemed pretty upset. And I'm not quite sure of the specifics.
I did listen to the recording. We haven't put it up on our website yet, but it'll be up shortly. We were there last night for their task force meeting and did record this. We'll put the audio out there for everyone to listen to. And you are correct. A number of members talked about or a number of citizens talked about how they were concerned about the charge of the task force. Is the task force doing what it was originally told to do?
And for folks who don't know, a local governing body or a board can set up a task force. I've been on those before, and I'm sure you have too. And they basically put these people together and say, this is what we want you to do. And you're not a permanent standing body. You're just there, a force of people to come together for a specific task or tasks, hence the name task force.
Yep.
And that you're given a charge, like a jury. When you go out of the room, you're given a charge. This is what we ask you to do, jury. Task force is the same thing. Here's your charge. These are the things we want you to come back with, information or recommendations.
I'll point out that one member of the public who spoke said, we agree with what you're doing. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. So there was a mixed opinion. Certainly it was tilted towards those asking questions or having concerns about what the task force was doing. But this task force came about back in June. The city and county both passed resolutions directing the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority to undertake a dredging study. So it started as, let's have Ravana do a dredging study, figure out what we should do with the sediment in the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. And then in late June, Tom Frederick, who's the executive director, asked his board for some direction. He said, basically, you know, we're hearing some people call for an immediate feasibility study. Let's figure out what it would take to do dredging, what it would cost us, what we could get for that work. But then he said, I hear some others saying, let's have a task force figure out the reasons for dredging in the first place. And so he went to his board and said, you know, what do you want me to do, basically? The board recommended, actually Frederick recommended to his board that if they want a task force, it should be created by the four chairs. The four chairs are the chair of the Board of Supervisors, the mayor of Charlottesville, the head of the Albemarle County Service Authority, and and Tom's boss, Mike Gaffney.
Is that what they did?
That's what they did. So the four chairs met late June and decided to create this task force. Now, at the same time, the RWSA board in late June before that meeting authorized up to $300,000 to do a dredging study. So there's been some momentum to study dredging
of the South Fork of the Ravana Reservoir.
And Frederick originally proposed this as being on a parallel track. Let's go ahead and start trying to find somebody to do the dredge study, while at the same time the task force is trying to answer the question, why should we dredge? And then those two things became not parallel anymore, in that Frederick felt like his board was saying, let's just have the task force take care of business first, figure out what we need to, why we want to dredge and what specific things we would ask of a consultant before we go out and try to find that consultant. So the four chairs met June 30th, 2008, and decided that they would create this task force with the consensus being that the critical question should be, should we dredge, and if so, why? So that was clearly part of the charge. Now, Norris, Mayor Norris, was three of the four said, whatever this task force does, it shouldn't impact the water supply plan that we already approved.
So
the 50-year plan.
So the dredging of the South Fork of the Ravana shouldn't in any way influence this other plan to create a new water supply.
And the reason
three out of the four said that.
And the reason those three said that is dredging alone doesn't give you enough capacity to take care of the 50-year projected need for the community. So dredging alone can't replace building a dam.
But who said that?
Well, that's been determined by the research that's been done about how much water we need, projected population growth, projected demand.
But there's never been a full dredging study that would have concluded that, right?
Well, no, but we know what the original capacity of that reservoir was. So the assumption is if you dredge to the bottom, you'll get back to where we were in 1966.
And we know,
and
what
we know
that is.
Number.
Right. Yep. But Dave Norris, one of the four, said, I'd like the dredging, the task force to look at dredging and see how that might influence the reservoir.
That's
because
right.
Maybe we don't need to build as big a reservoir that we can't afford anyway, and this dredging can help us come up with some of that water we need.
And this is background. We're rehashing old stuff here, but it's important because back in June, it was before the new cost estimates came in on the dam. So even back then, Mayor Norris was saying we should be open to adjusting that dam project based on how much need, how much capacity we can get back in South Fork.
Right. And which I got to tell you, that makes sense to me, especially when you look at the cost of what the cost is coming in for the reservoir, which you can't afford. It's so outrageously expensive. It makes sense to say, well, if we're going to dredge, let's see how much water that could give us. And maybe that could offset some of the water that we would be building for over here because we can't afford to build a huge reservoir.
And what Tom Frederick told the task force last night was, even if you got all of the capacity back, that the impact that could have on the height of the dam, which is at Ragged Mountain, the new dam would be 112 feet. Tom Frederick told the task force last night that could only be lowered by 5 feet and still get the supply we need.
So even if you dredge,
if you dredge, you get full capacity back at South Fork, you could lower the dam by 5 feet. And then the question is that worth it?
Yeah, which is basically his way of saying this is a moot point. Don't chase this rabbit down this reservoir.
So what you had members of the public saying last night was that the resolutions from the city and the county specifically said that somebody, and when they wrote these resolutions, they were talking about Ravana, not the task force. So these resolutions passed by city council and the board of supervisors were directing RWSA to do things, not the task force, which got different direction from the four chairs. But anyway, they said that one of the things they need to do is look at the, quote, viability and merits of maintenance dredging in the South Fork. So that was the direction originally from the city and the county in early June. By late June, the four chairs met, created the task force, and then at the first task force meeting, a handout was provided that said, here's the charge as approved by the four chairs, which worked it out after that June 30th meeting. So they had some moving around of documents, came up with a charge that was handed out. And that document is, I would agree with the criticism, it's less specific about some of these things, talks about it in more general terms, about the 50-year water supply plan being a given, and that we need to look at this timeline over 50 years and figure out what's the impact if we don't do anything. If we don't dredge, what's the impact? And then start looking at what they said were, quote, other potential maintenance initiatives, which certainly includes dredging.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And let's go quickly to the phones. Betty's on line one. Betty, go right ahead. You're on with Brian.
Hey, Brian. Okay, just quickly. Whenever Mr. Frederick talks about the big dam versus dredging isn't enough water, people need to remember, and he always leaves this out, that the big dam cannot fill itself. And that just building that big dam without the pipeline, which now looks like it's over $100 million, but has no cost to it, no design to it, it's just a black hole, basically, that you can't build that big dam and meet our 50-year need without the pipeline. And that's always left out when Mr. Frederick talks about it. In fact, dredging, by Gannett Fleming's own numbers, gives us far more water. It gives us plenty of water for 30 years. And maybe even the whole amount, because the only assumptions we have about the population and the demand are from Gannett Fleming. And as we've all seen, Gannett Fleming's assumptions are not very good. In fact, Mr. Frederick has put a stop work order on them because now he doesn't even like their assumptions. So I think that dredging should surveys, I mean, we're stalling. This task force is ridiculous. they've changed the charge. Clearly on the 30th, water supply was in the floorboard chair, was in the memorandum they gave out. It was in Dave Norris's comments. That's what they've taken out of their charge on August 12th. And it's pretty outrageous. And I think the public gets it. I think everybody gets it, that this plan is so expensive, it has no budget to it. Mr. Crutchfield has a letter at the hook that's excellent. I hope everybody will go to the hook and read that letter, because it's a fabulous letter.
Betty, thank you so much for the call. I got another call we want to get to before we break for local news. Kevin, go right ahead. You're on with Brian Wheeler.
Hey, Coy. Well, I'll second a lot of what Betty said. This task force, I think people probably don't have the time to go back and read the original charge that was created on the 30th of June, but certainly Brian Wheeler ought to, because that charge clearly includes that dredging would be looked at for the purposes of maintenance of our water supply. It was discussed in the minutes somehow between the four board chairs meeting and when Mike Gaffney read what they decided on at the task force meeting, that their charge changed substantially. And the question is, how did that happen? The four chairs met in a public meeting. They handed out a list of objectives to the public. They discussed it. They approved it. And then somehow it changed. Who changed it? And I think Betty's comments on the dam are right on. This dam by itself provides a little over 2 MGD of safe yield. Dredging supplies 5.5, and it's a quarter of the cost now. The dam cost, best case scenario, $85 million. More likely scenario, easily $100 million. We could have already had that thing dredged now for under $30 million if it weren't for the powers that be entrenched in their ideas of going forward and spending money unnecessarily.
Kevin,
and the defenders, you know, I can't understand why people are still defending him. They remind me of the folks who were still defending Don Rumsfeld when it was obvious to everybody else that they're riding a lame horse here.
Kevin, thank you so much for the call. Former City Councilor Kevin Litch and Betty as well, members of the group Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. We've got a break, folks, for local news and weather. We'll pick this up right when we get back. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Local nonprofits make our community strong. News Radio 1070 WINA is proud to support nonprofits by posting...
You know, they threw out a lot of comments there. I probably can't respond to all of them, but Betty Mooney made a point about... her opinion that Tom Frederick did not mention the pipeline when talking about the dam. And my thought about that is, I think oftentimes what we're talking about right now is the dam, because that's the one that we're trying to get some accurate detailed pricing information about. That's the current capital project. So that's the topic of discussion right now. But the water supply plan, ever since it was agreed upon by the city and the county, has always referenced the need for the pipeline to fill this bigger reservoir. You and I have talked about that a lot on this show, because I've pointed out that the pipeline that currently fills Ragged Mountain comes from Sugar Hollow all the way up next to Shenandoah National Park. So that pipeline is aging and RWSA says needs to be replaced. So once that goes away, something else does need to refill Ragged Mountain, and that having another pipeline built is always part of the plan. So I think sometimes when you hear people just talking about the dam, it's because that's the issue that's right in front of us today, immediately. But it's not like anybody's trying to hide the fact that, yeah, we also need to build a pipeline, because that's always been part of the discussion.
Or it won't fill up what you're building the dam for.
Well, what do you mean?
If you build the dam and make a big new bathtub at Ragged Mountain, it's not going to fill up unless you put in that new pipeline, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Or keep the old one.
Or keep the old one from
Sugar Hollow. Right.
Would that fill up to the top of the...
I assume it would.
Would that give you what...
I assume it would, but then Tom Frederick, if he were here, he'd point out that, you know, the permit application that's been approved now requires stream flows in the Mormons River to be increased. And so
you can't use it from Sugar Hollow.
It's the way the RWSA sees this is trying to balance human needs for water with environmental benefits that can be gained by stopping the diversion of water out of Sugar Hollow, putting it back into its original stream.
And divert it from the South Fork.
Divert it instead from the South Fork. So anyway, I'm belaboring the point there. And then Kevin Lynch was talking about the task force charge. And I get, you know, I was trying to quote from the original resolutions before Kevin got on the call there and talked about it. You know, on our website, you can read the memo that was handed out at the four chairs meeting. It certainly talks in detail about dredging, because one of the things in front of them was, you know, should we decide to have a dredging consultant immediately, or should we have this task force look into things first? So I'm looking at that memo right now. Possible issues for the task force to explore. One was confirm the list of public resources or uses of the reservoir. That's certainly something the task force is looking at now, rowing and fishing being the two most popular ones. And then also identify studies desired by the consulting team, the consulting team being a dredging consulting team. So identifying the studies desired for dredging. So I think it's, I mean, I just don't get that there's this criticism that the task force is not looking at dredging. I mean, that's what people seem to be saying. And I've been in most of these meetings. I've listened to all of them. And what they're saying is we need to figure out what the four chairs clearly said, and nobody can dispute this. The first question they need to answer, they being the task force, is should we dredge? And if so, why? And that's what they're looking at.
But three of the four also said the answer to that question can't be to give us as a feature of the water supply plan.
No, that what they said, Coy, was we don't look at that thinking it will change the plan. That doesn't mean it won't change what's available to the water supply.
But we're going to go ahead and do the plan. Three of the four, not Dave Norris, said we're going to go ahead and do the plan regardless of what the dredging would give us.
So, and then the only other thing I would point out is that Betty Mooney and Kevin Lynch both have a representative on the task force, and it's Dee Dee Smith. And sometimes she's been replaced by Rich Collins. So certainly Dee Dee could ask that the charge be revisited. And I didn't hear her ask for that last night. Other members of the group asked for that in public comment. The city also has a city councilor, Holly Edwards, on the task force. And so you would think she would be representing the perspective that Dave Norris shared. Now, he shared that as one city councilor, but if she had concerns. So, you know, I think this is making a mountain out of a molehill. But the important point, I think, for the public to know is that the task force is moving forward, and the next opportunity is coming up at the end of the month when the public can come to a public hearing and provide input. There's also a website right now where you can go online. It's albemarle.org/South Fork Reservoir. It's an online survey. People can provide their input on this.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to weigh in on this conversation. It's Tuesday on Charlottesville right now, and that means growth and development. Floyd has been waiting very patiently on line one. Floyd, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Coy and Brian.
Absolutely.
Hello. I'm usually pretty heavy on you guys, but I'm going to try to lighten up a little bit today.
Thank you, Floyd.
I think I've got a solution to the whole problem.
All right, lay it on us.
I think we need to maximize our utilization of our current resources. And we'll please everybody with this. If we just make a linear reservoir where the old Western Bypass was supposed to be and move the bypass out to Buck Mountain and get it out of everyone's backyard.
Now, Floyd, I think you've called in and asked about Buck Mountain in the past, haven't you?
Yes.
What did I say?
Brian, I think we got you that time. I usually get coy, but this time I think I got you.
Is that the spiny muscle place?
We got the James River spiny muscle problem up at the old Buck Mountain.
I don't know why
site.
They just don't put that in an aquarium at the county office building.
But you didn't hear what I said. I said move the bypass to the Buck Mountain.
Oh, yeah. You did get me.
Well, linear reservoir on the Western Bypass line.
I think VDOT.
We already own both plans.
I think VDOT's going to have trouble with endangered species just as much as the Department of...
I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Floyd. You never stop thinking. I appreciate it. Let's go to Keith on line two. Keith, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brian, this is Keith. Really, thank you for all the reporting you've done. You've done a really good job of getting information out.
Thank you.
Just one thing, and I don't know if it's within your purview, but I think maybe it's time for a little investigative reporting, because in some of the information that I've seen, when this whole thing started, they, of course, said dredging was going to cost $100 million, $200 million, et cetera, when it really was about 25 or 30. But the other thing is they started with a higher version of current demand because they thought it was going to be 11.08 million gallons per day. Then it went down to 9.98 when everyone put low-flow toilets in and UVA went backwards in their water use. But from my understanding is all the calculations for the future, they said we're going to ignore that and start with an 11.08 million gallon per day and then increase it 7%. Ultimately, from what I calculated, it overstates the needs by 33%.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I hadn't heard any of that.
Well, we'll take you up on that challenge.
And of course, for the folks who might not be as educated on this issue as Keith is, you're basically talking about somebody saying you need this much water, and then you work backward from that. You need this much in 50 years, and you work backward from that to decide what you need to build to meet that need in 50 years.
Well, actually, it's a little bit of the reverse. What they did is they said they projected initially that it was going to be 11.08 million gallons per day. That was, let's say, in 2000 or something. Then in 2007, after the drought and everybody changed their toilets and such, the actual demand for the year that they thought was 11.08 was really 9.98. But then when they did their model, they completely ignored the reality and said, nah, we really think it should be 11.08. And they used that phony number. And then when you increment that 7% every year for 50 years, you overstate the demand by 33%.
Wow. That is interesting.
Keith. But, and again, you do a great job of reporting what a lot of the people say, Brian, but you may want to take a look at that because I think you might find some interesting stuff.
Sounds good. Keith, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. Let's go to Kevin on three. Kevin, go right ahead.
Hey, Coy. I wanted to respond to a couple of things that Brian talked about earlier. When he mentioned the public resources and uses of the reservoir the task force was charged with looking at, he didn't mention water supply. That was on the list of things that the task force was to consider, listed on their June 30th charge, that somehow has been dropped, the idea that the reservoir would be used for water supply, which is really ridiculous on its face. That reservoir was not built for boating or for rowing or for fishing. It was built for water and the idea, or for drinking water. The idea that we're just going to decide how we can best use it for fishing and boating is, it's almost hard to believe that anyone could take that seriously. The other thing I wanted to comment to was the filling of the Ragged Mountain Dam. Mormons River Pipeline can deliver 4 million gallons a day to it, and it will not keep the Ragged Mountain Dam fill to what it needs for the next 50 years. That's why they're building a pipe, or they're talking about building this pipeline from the South Fork, that could supply 25 million gallons a day. So everybody, like Brian, likes to talk about, well, the old one's failing, you got to build a new one. But it's not a matter of replacing something old with something new. It's a matter of making something six times bigger than it is now. And right now we've got a gravity flow system that goes from Sugar Hollow and flows by gravity into Ragged Mountain. We will be creating the third largest river in the county and pumping it 300 miles uphill. That's just not equivalent in any way.
Kevin, thank you so much. I appreciate the calls and the comment. Let's go to Teresa on line one. Teresa, go right ahead.
Yes, I was addressing the fact that, you know, everywhere somebody's throwing junk in the rivers or the, in the waters. I mean, it's like household items and stuff. And speaking of dredging, I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to see what the heck's in there.
To see what's down in the reservoir.
You know, it's interesting. Teresa, one of the comments made, and this is only sort of related, but last night at the dredging task force meeting, you know, there used to be a dam at Woolen Mills, and that was, breached recently. They pulled the dam out and allowed the Ravana River to keep flowing so the shad could swim further upstream.
Hopefully.
When they did that, Sally Thomas, one of the members of the task force and a woman who's on the board of supervisors, said that because the water level has now gone down and silt that was backed up behind the Woolen Mills Dam is being eroded away and sent downstream into the James, they've now, when she was on a cleanup effort along the Ravana River, they found a lot of industrial equipment that had been, dumped, maybe 100 years ago.
That as the silt is washing away now,
it's revealing all these things that were in the muck, so to speak. So
Teresa's got a good point, though. We don't know what's in the bottom of that reservoir.
Bet we'll find some Volkswagen Beetles down there somewhere.
Brian Wheeler, you can read it all at seavilletomorrow.org. And thank you, everybody, for your calls today. This is a subject that we will certainly pick up again next week on Tuesday as we discuss growth and development.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.